WildTalkRadio.com.
Theme song!
This is the Firefly Funhouse! And I want to introduce you to some very special friends that I met along the way.
Hey, this is Adam Copeland, a.k.a. the Rated R Superstar.
Hey guys, this is Renee Paquette.
This is Kane from WWE.
This is WWE Superstar Drew McIntyre.
Hello, this is WWE Hall of Famer, the Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels.
Hi, this is Bree. And this is Nikki, and we're the Bella Twins.
This is Christopher Daniels, and what I like to do on my off days is listen to the rap, and now you are...
And it is awesome!
Satisfaction is guaranteed.
It's time to experience the award-winning The Rack.
Goodness gracious, great balls of fire!
I love kickball.
I'm back, taking souls and digging holes.
I'm gonna break you, bitch, you hear me?
You can look, but you can't touch.
Ruthless aggression.
With your host...
They've been lying to you. Heroes don't exist. Y'all become addicted to the illusion of what a hero does for you. Have I mentioned that I was once addicted to eating sponges?
Lindsay Ward.
Look at me, woman.
And you can just call me Taker.
Oh my God, it's Taker. Taker, Taker, Taker. Does Taker hate me? Oh my God, it's Taker.
And she was a wicked, wicked child who spat and swore and chewed tobacco.
I like puppets.
Stickers!
And her producer, Sir Rockin.
My little creatures of the night will now experience the magical art of puppetry.
If you smell...
Ow!
What the game is playing!
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
We're here.
Yowie wowie!
I don't care what y'all say.
Whoa, it's time to rock and roll. Whoa, this time I'm in control. Whoa, right now I own the streets. I got the keys to the city. That's cause I get down. Whoa, time to rock and roll. This time I'm in control. Whoa, right now I own the streets. I got the keys to the city. That's cause I get down. Sometimes I wonder how I made it this far.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you by our friends over at MBG Films. Check them out, YouTube.com/MBG1211. And if you're listening to us over on RackRadioShow.com, WildTalkRadio.com, or directly on Twitch, thank you so much for tuning in. We greatly appreciate it. If you're on Twitch and you happen to have a Prime Gaming sub available, well, you can use it here for free for 30 days. All you have to do is hit the little purple button down the bottom of the screen, and you can subscribe for free. It is that simple. You can also subscribe the regular way, follow the channel, hang out and chat, or listen to the archive. We are happy to have you any way we can get you. I'm your host, Lindsay Ward. Joining me, as always, is the ever-faithful producer, slash co-host, slash handyman, Sir Rockin.
Hey, that's me.
It's you!
That's me. Hey, chat, we're live. This is The Rack, live here. You can follow us on Twitter, at Wild Talk Radio, at Rack Radio Show, at Lindsay Ward. Come to WildTalkRadio.com, RackRadioShow.com, or Twitch.tv/WTRLive to interact with us live. Here tonight, because we're going to talk money in the bank and all the news.
And it's been kind of a week in the world of professional wrestling. But an interesting week in the world of professional wrestling, I will say that. So I say we don't want to waste any time when we jump right into the news brought to our friends over at MBG Films, YouTube.com/MBG1211. Ozzy Osbourne is coming to the WWE Champions video game as a playable character. You've ever wanted to match up the Prince of Darkness against The Undertaker, this is your chance. Somebody got paid to write that, didn't they? Players will have the chance to unlock Ozzy, who is part of the game's Summer of Darkness event, then play as him against the rest of the roster. Fittingly, the legendary of heavy metal? Is that English? The Legend of Heavy Metal comes with his own unique moveset. His moves include classics such as Crazy Train, Diary of a Madman, Shot in the Dark, and Hellraiser. So go get him. Go do the thing. Go get Ozzy Osbourne if you would like. No Bat Eater. There is no Bat Eater. I mean, shouldn't it be a Dove Eater? Because didn't he eat the dove first? And then he did the bat? Or was the bat first? I don't know. All I know is he bit the head off of a bird. And it was weird. But anyway, go get Ozzy Osbourne when he's available.
Yes.
Which it doesn't say.
Doesn't say, but shortly. soon.
Very soon.
Very soon. Maybe available now. I don't know. The release didn't say anything.
Okay. But they need to fix the Legendary of Heavy Metal.
Yeah.
Proofreading is a thing. Anyway, NXT Great American Bash to air on August 6th on Sci-Fi rather than USA due to the Olympics.
Yeah, so I would assume that's going to be probably a couple times it'll be on Sci-Fi in the summer because
the Olympics are right around the corner.
I know. We're already almost halfway through July.
Scary.
I mean, yeah, very scary. But hey, speaking of NXT, demo winners? Anyway.
Hashtag the demo.
Hashtag winning. Hashtag, oh my God, the viewers count more than demo this week. But hey, it's all about the people who tune in rate. It's when they tune in. Yeah.
Always. Is that what we're making it now? Is that what we're running with?
Always something different. Always something. It's, you know, it's a blip of the radar. It's fine. They're hotter than ever.
It was the weather.
It was nice out. So, you know, the one person in the demo didn't watch.
But what you can watch is the Undertaker's One Dead Man Show. It will be part of the SummerSlam weekend in Cleveland. As WWE announced a show with the WWE Hall of Famer for Saturday, August 3rd, it will be held at the Agora starting at 1 p.m. Eastern ahead of SummerSlam. Ooh, he's going on early.
He's going on
early. He can get out of there early.
He can leave early. The tickets are on sale today, so get them while they're hot. Go see The Undertaker. It was part of his One Dead Man Show. I mean, they did Sammy for Toronto and Montreal for Money in the Bank, so Taker gets to run SummerSlam.
Honestly, if he comes here for this next one, I may go see it. Bad Blood is returning to the PLE calendar. It will be held on October 5th in right here, Atlanta, Georgia. Tickets are getting ready to go on sale. I don't think they're on sale yet.
I think the 19th.
Yeah, something like that. It's very, very soon. So if you want to go see Bad Blood, and I saw somebody say that, you know, Taylor Swift's song Bad Blood should be the theme, and they weren't wrong. I mean, if they could get her to appear, that would be a coup.
I mean, people talking since day one, once it was brought up, like, can we get Taylor? Taylor Swift? Huh?
Get T-Swift, man. Get T-Swift.
But she's
you got that connection busy. with the Kelsey's.
She's too busy, though. It's Kelsey season. He's traveling all around the world, so, you know.
They're being cute together.
She's got to be at the football games. But no, it will be the 25th anniversary of the original In Your House Bad Blood pay-per-view. So it'll be taking place in Atlanta 25 years to the day.
Do we think we'll get a Hell in a Cell?
I think that's the idea because that was the first Hell in a Cell. We're featuring The Undertaker and Shawn Michaels.
The match that ended Shawn's career. Beginning of the end.
Beginning, but it was the casket match that ended his career.
Ah.
Because he hit the back of the casket or flesh on the handle. This is what did it. But yeah, 25 years of Bad Blood. The last one was, I think, 2004, I think we mentioned.
It's been a long time. It's been 20 years.
It's been a minute since I've done one. It's cool to bring back an old name. It's you like to see them go back in history and that, you know, people will speak finally some of those shows. Some people hated them, but, you know, it is what it is.
Yeah, I mean, just mix it up, have different names, keep the copyrights fresh, you know, do what you got to do.
Because, you know, they got a copyright for Super Bowl, so every once they get, they're going to run a WCW event here, which means, you know, NXT is running one. They did have a pay-per-view in 1997, right?
Yeah, it's a PLE now, but it was pay-per-view back in the day.
Exactly.
Thank you.
Keep up, Brent.
Anyway, ESPN's Joe Tessitore will join WWE as the play-by-play announcer this summer. He will be joining Corey Graves and Wade Barrett on SmackDown.
This is an interesting move, bringing Joe Tessitore over for ESPN stuff. Because he's still apparently going to do college, probably, because he's been the voice of college football for them for a long time. He's doing boxing for them. So him as a play-by-play announcer is going to be interesting. I'm not surprised that they went for him. I'm surprised that they did as well, because I thought Corey Graves has been doing a good job, and they've been casting him as the voice of SmackDown, so either he'd rather do color and doesn't like play-by-play, or they feel like going into the USA on September 1st, I think it is, October 1st, September 1st, whenever, sometime in the fall, they want a new voice when they move to the USA Network, so... Which is interesting. So if you think about it, if he joins them before they move, there's going to be an ESPN anchor or voice on a Fox show. That's an interesting, like, situation. Things like that. Just because But it's a good move. I think he'll do better than Mike Adam Lee. I think he'll do better than Adnan Verk, both first guys who did football broadcasting before coming to WWE, or any ESPN announcers. But because of Lee fitting, Tessitore coming in is not the most surprising move.
It will be interesting in the modern era, because as we've noticed, or as you noted, you know, a lot of the others, they didn't last, right? Because they couldn't necessarily adjust to specific things, namely Vince yelling in their ear. So that seemed to be the general cited reason. However, as we've seen with Michael Cole, he's much happier. The announced teams overall seem to be much enjoying themselves much more, having more fun, having really an easier time of things, because I think they're being given a lot more leeway to do what they want to do and call how they want to call. And I think that's being put more in Michael Cole's hands. So this will be an interesting transition.
Yeah.
And I'm sure they'll work out the ESPN Fox thing. I'm sure they'll get that taken care of.
No, it'll be fine. It's just a weird like dynamic in my head. It's like, and the ESPN guy is on Fox. It's just weird.
It will be strange, but we'll see how he does. Curious to see how it goes.
They never announced how long the deal is. They just said he's coming in the summer, so maybe it's a tryout. Say, hey, you want to see? Maybe he'll come for the fall, because he's not joining for Netflix, because that's Colin McAfee for Raw. So
yeah,
this is for
maybe
the US,
when well the US, but maybe when McAfee goes away.
I don't think
football's coming.
But no, but that would be two play-by-play guys. So you don't. It's not to replace McAfee. McAfee's staying even, and that's why he's doing Mondays, because McAfee would still work, be able to work Saturdays if he's doing it. And as of now, that's undecided, because he still has not signed his contract for the 2024 season of College Game Day. So
Pat's holding out.
I think they're still trying to come to terms.
I mean, fair.
I don't think he signed the contract. I've heard he hasn't signed a contract. Maybe he has by now, but he hadn't as of like a month ago, I think it was. Matt, I think I read something about it. But it's out there that he would want to come back. People want him to come back. But I think he also ruffled a few feathers for the college gay crowd. So, you know, who knows?
We'll see if they bring him back or not. It's anybody's guess.
Yeah.
So Drew McIntyre is joined the list of people who have signed with talent agencies. He's with Paradigm now. So he's looking to take that next step.
Yeah, he's going to be in a movie with Batista. He's in a movie with Batista that's coming out in the next few months. You know, everyone's getting part of this agency. Tiffany, Punk, now Drew. I mean, Drew needs something to do now that he's been suspended and stuff from WWE, so, you know, why not act?
But he's unsuspended.
Is he? Or is he just asked to appear? He's still suspended, but asked to appear.
They'll unsuspend him. It'll be fine. Maybe.
We'll see.
But yes, he's joining the growing list. And these next two stories kind of made the internet have a little bit of a mad for different reasons. The first one is a congratulations. And this is a BAMF right here. Stephanie Vaquer, who appeared at Forbidden Door against Mercedes Moné and had a stellar performance, so stellar, in fact, that she got not one, but two contract offers, one from AEW and one from WWE, just based on that appearance. And she has agreed to terms to sign with WWE. So go her. Like, girl boss that shit.
People are mad.
People are so mad, though.
People are so mad at this one. Because people in New Japan are mad, people in CMLL are mad that WWE took her. It's like, one, CML, she was under contract with CMLL, but there's a clause in their contracts like, hey, if you get a big money offer from an American company, you know, you can take it, which is what she did. Because she was booked for a couple other things, and they let her out of her deal, so she'll be heading to Orlando here shortly to join up with WWE and NXT. That's where she's headed, because Sean's the one who officially announced it.
Yeah.
after all the rumors started, he just went, hey, yeah, she's coming. Welcome aboard.
We got her.
But yeah, once she gave up the belts, it was like, oh, she's gave up the belts, so she's done. She's going to leave. Okay. Because if she was going to go to AEW, she wouldn't have to give up anything, because that's fine. But, yeah. Internet had a mad, so let the girl get her money.
Let her secure that bag, man. She earned it. So good for her. Congratulations to Stephanie.
And I would expect her to debut probably very shortly. I would say early September for the CW.
Yeah, that makes sense.
If you think about everything they're doing with the TNA people, Joe Hendry, all the TNA crossover, they're building interest for the debut on CW this fall.
My God, it's like they have a plan.
It's like they have a plan of action.
Oh my God. It's amazing. They're actually trying things.
Shockingly.
This other one has been met with mixed reviews as well. So MXM have officially signed with AEW ROH. If you don't know who that is Mace and Mansoor. And I would expect Dijak to probably follow them shortly. But yeah, they have been met with mixed reviews from the AEW crowd.
Have they now?
Some people are happy about this. Some people are not so happy about this. Mansoor roasted Max Caster on Twitter while casually eating his lunch or breakfast,
A meal of some kind. So yeah, they're expected to debut on ROH TV shortly. If not, that wasn't tonight. It might be next week. They're headed there because that's where the first promo aired. On ROH, not AEW, ROH, but they'll eventually make it to there. Because, you know,
yeah,
their rosters are, you know, one. We are one. Anyway.
It's interchangeable. They can mix and match. You know,
except for certain people, like Athena, who can barely never gets on AEW television, even though she's probably the best women's wrestler or one of them they got. So here we are. Props to Mariah May, though. Great performance last night.
I had to figure out what kind of shoe that she used because I kept seeing the pictures and I kept seeing like where the spot was and I was like, did she stab her with a spiked heel?
Yes.
And that's exactly what she did.
You gotta beware of the shoe. Tony's been saying it for months. You gotta beware of the shoe.
Well, I know you have to beware of the shoe. Like, I understand the catchphrase, but I was like.
But she wasn't. Tony wasn't aware of that. She forgot her own thing. She wasn't bare. She forgot about the shoe.
But I'm trying to figure out where they got the spike heel from. Was Tony wearing it?
I think at one point she was wearing it. Yes.
Okay. But I just kept seeing the pictures and like based on the size and the placement of the wound and everything, I was like, she uses like a spike heel or a stiletto for that? Because that's about the only thing that would make that if it was a shoe.
Yes. First it was a belt and then it was a shoe.
It's really sad. I know that, by the way, that I can figure that out just based on looking at it and not having seen it. That's really sad or terrifying that I know that.
Expert analysis right here on the rack.
No.
Yes. I mean, you just proved it. You just proved it.
Knowing for the fact that Toni Storm got stabbed with a stiletto in game. Is not expert.
I mean,
okay?
you picked it apart pretty well. I mean,
no.
I'm just pointing that one out.
No. 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 No.
I mean, but yes.
No.
But maybe?
But no.
Anyway, Brents?
Do the blame Brents.
Bones breaking. Backs cracking. Shoulder snapping. It's this week's injury roundup.
Alrighty, so Riho unfortunately has a fractured arm.
# blame Brent.
And she'll be out probably a couple months, maybe wager.
One would assume, yeah.
I haven't heard, but I don't think she requires surgery.
I think they were trying to figure that part out.
So, best of luck to her. Hope she recovers. And this one, I believe, will require surgery. The big strong boy. Big strong too hard. And he now has a torn pec. One Tyler Bate.
# blame Brent.
I hate you for that.
He had
both of you.
He had surgery on it. That's why people knew what it was. He got injured on July 2nd. So they mentioned on Raw that he was going to be out a while. So now we know. Torn pec. He's out.
So feel better, Tyler.
So Peter Dune is going to be on his own for a while.
And he has bitterness towards Sheamus.
For now. Maybe
for now.
Maybe they'll share a pint or two and sort of mend fences.
They'll brawl it out and then they'll be friends again.
Yeah, or Pete can be on his own. Pete's good on his own.
Yeah, Pete's fine on his own. Yeah. But with that, I say we take a break.
Sounds like a plan.
All right, so when we come back, we will be talking all about Money in the Bank. We'll let you know who won, who lost, and what we thought of the show. So you're listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we will be right back.
Are you following us on twitch.tv/WTR live? Do you have Amazon Prime? If so, you can link it to your Twitch account and subscribe to our Twitch channel for free with Twitch Prime. It's the easiest way to help support us for free.
Every Sunday night, the evolution continues with Wrestle Talk Radio, giving you all the latest happenings in sports entertainment. With the intern, the producer, the original Tim Stein, and sometimes, a K-Sheep. It's WTR Sunday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, 8 p.m. Mountain, only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Like what you hear? Subscribe to The Rack on Apple Podcasts. Just search for The Rack Radio Show. And while you're there, leave us a review and tell us your thoughts on your favorite show on a Thursday night.
Every Monday night, once Monday Night Raw ends, the Raw post show goes live.
You want to hear a story? Get the hell yeah!
Join Lindsay and Sir Rockin' as they give their opinions on what they liked.
What?
What they didn't like.
What?
And what left them completely confused.
What?
It's the Raw Post Show.
What?
Monday nights.
What?
11 p.m. Eastern.
What?
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
And that's the bottom line. Go Stone Cold Simpson.
This just into the CB Radio news desk. Sources have confirmed that CB Radio will be live Saturday nights at 11:30 p.m. Eastern.
Wasn't this confirmed last year?
Yes.
Then how is this breaking news?
No one said it was breaking news. We here at the CB Radio news desk are just confirming what has already been confirmed.
To confirm, you are just confirming that CB Radio is live Saturday nights at 11:30 p.m. Eastern.
Confirmed. We would like to remind you. Always trust the source that confirms that CB Radio is live Saturday nights at 11:30 p.m. Eastern.
Confirmed.
Confirmed.
Did you know that you can use support a creator code ROCKSOCK in the Fortnite item shop? That's ROCKNSOCK in the Fortnite item shop. Hashtag ad because we are a hashtag epic partner.
Burn it down!
This is the undisputed future of WWE, Seth Rollins, and you are listening to The Rack on Wild Talk Radio.
And welcome back to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you by our friends over at MBG Films. Check them out, youtube.com/MBG1211. And if you're listening to us over on RackRadioShow.com, WildTalkRadio.com, or directly on Twitch, thank you so much for tuning in. We greatly appreciate it. If you're on Twitch and you happen to have a Prime Gaming sub available, well, you can use it here for free for 30 days. All you have to do is hit the little purple button on the bottom of the screen and you can subscribe for free. It is that simple. You can also subscribe the regular way, follow the channel, hang out in chat, or listen to the archive. We are happy to have you any way we can get you. And with that, it's Money in the Bank time. Money, 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 money.
It is Money in the Bank time. That took place this past Saturday on the WWE Network and on WWE on Peacock. here in the United States of America. It was a good show. 5 pretty solid matches. I thought overall the men's Money in the Bank left a lot to be desired because the women went out there and tried to kill each other.
Yeah, the women just full scent went. Like, they were like, we have something to prove in this. We're going to prove it. And by God, they did. The men tried, but the men did not go nearly as hard as the women did.
No, and I wasn't expecting. Carmelo Hayes went out of his way. We'll talk about the men. We'll start with the men. Carmelo kind of tried to be the spot monkey. He took a couple big bumps. Andrade tried a couple things. But
Chad Gable face planted into the mat.
He did face plant into the mat. But as of an entirety type match, I thought men played it safe. And rightfully so. There's a bunch of a couple main eventers in that match where that's like SummerSlam's on the horizon for like, say, like LA Knight. He's not a big spot person to begin with, so he kind of played it safe in terms of big moments and big spots. But he got his moveset in. I don't know. Going in, I didn't have much expectations for who was going to win. Like, we talked about it last week. Jey Uso was everyone's choice kind of to win the match. It was kind of the deal. Like, his match to lose because it's like, do we really want to use the thing with Drew and which they ended up doing with Drew was the winner of the Money in the Bank as the prop for it. But I wasn't like a true believer in him. It's like LA Knight wasn't going to win. And the other guys just, you just didn't see them as like, hey, they're going to be the world champion coming out of this. So it's like, I know a lot of people are like, hey, they wasted it. It's like, I don't know if they wasted it because going in is like, I don't know if anyone was really a big standout other than Drew or Jey. And Jey really doesn't need it. He's over enough without the briefcase. So it kind of like the outcome itself was like, all right, Drew won. Congrats. It just, I think it was more surprising no one interfered in the match.
Yeah, I was really kind of shocked. We didn't see a lot of shenanigans in this at all. But also at the same time, I'm kind of glad that we didn't. Like, I think it was anticipated by a lot of people, including myself, that the White Six might get involved because of Chad Gable or somebody else might get involved. And I was really happy that didn't happen, that they just kept this as clean as they possibly could. Because we all know that when there are shenanigans in the Money in the Bank, then it's like, oh, God. Like, James Ellsworth getting the women's briefcase. Anyway, so I was glad that they kept this clean. But at the same time, too, in terms of Drew getting it, and then we'll just go ahead and say he cashed it in later that night, and then burning it, I don't have a problem with that. Because sometimes the Money in the Bank briefcase can be more of a detriment than it can a help. And yeah, in years past, they just sort of like left it hanging out there. So by the fact that you burned it and you don't have it hanging over anybody's head, that's really good, especially with you heading into the back half of the year and into WrestleMania season. It's like, okay, we don't have to worry about that. That's one less thing, because right now the world title picture for both shows is really strong. So you don't really need it to elevate anybody, and you certainly don't need someone like Drew to have it to cash it in to get a title shot. Like, Drew can just walk out there and be like, I want a goddamn title shot. Give it to me.
Which is what he did for Clash at the Castle.
Yeah. So, yeah.
And the women who, the numbers are out there where, like, it's usually night of, a week, maybe at the most a month. The last person to hold it longer than a month was Carmella. So having Tiffany, who won the women's one, we'll talk about that in a bit.
Oh, I can't wait. I cannot wait to see the briefcase after she gets done with it. I can't wait.
Is like, there's a lot of marketability on that one with her and her holding it for a while. So I don't know if they're going to sell them. She's going to hold the briefcase for a bit. She's got to market it. It's a marketing tool. And
Totally a marketing tool.
Let her go for a few months going, all right, you know, because Nia is probably getting the belt at SummerSlam, one would assume, and just have her taunt Nia with it for a few months before eventually making her move.
I'm going to echo Brent in the fact that she will be absolutely just obnoxious, like almost intolerable with it in terms of tormenting people.
Yeah.
Just look at me. Look what I have. Isn't it cool? Isn't it awesome? And especially to Nia or Bailey, it's here's your future right here. And I can cash this in whenever I want.
Because the percentage is 100% for women.
Right now, yes. Nobody's lost, knock wood, or fake wood in my case, yet. And I'm not saying that Tiffany will, but it's And she's cunning enough, especially with the way that they present the character, that she's going to bide her time. She's going to wait for her moment. And then she's going to take it. And that will be cool to watch. Honorable mention, though, goes to Chelsea Green. She owned the crap out of this.
Yeah, for the women.
For the women, in terms of the bumps she took, in terms of the outfit, just in terms of the whole sell of the thing. Like, I loved at the beginning when everybody else scrambles for a ladder and Chelsea Green's just jumping, trying to grab the briefcase.
Yeah.
Like, and then she just steals somebody's ladder.
Yeah, it was great. Because the whole idea, because they did a thing where she's afraid of heights, and that's kind of the deal. Because the last time she ended up on a ladder, doing a ladder match, you know how it ended?
She broke her arm, didn't she?
No, it ended the same way this one did. She went through, she may have broken her arm off of it, but she went flying through two tables just like that.
See, this is why you don't set up the tables, because statistically, if you're the one that sets up the table, you're the one that goes through the table.
It was her and Tiffy to set it up together, and well,
she went through.
She went through. It took a hell of a bump. They showed a couple of angles on social of the roof camera of it. Pretty impressive. Taking that bump like that.
Well, there was that one, and then there was, I think, the one that Zoe Stark took on the ladder.
Oh, where she did a flip and fell face first, planted back of the head on the thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that hurt. You know that hurt.
You heard the smack when it happened too.
And I mean, to their credit, WWE isn't necessarily using all metal ladders, but still that hurt.
It hurts. It's still smashing into something. By the way, props to Naomi for the splits on the ladder.
Yes, that was cool. That was awesome.
Like, she holding her legs up like that, that's just impressive. But yeah, so for the women's match, I thought Chelsea and Tiffy were standouts in that one. I think everyone else played their parts. Io took a couple of big bumps. Zoe took the bump to her head, and then the Michinoku type driver on the ladder from Io with Io. That one was more sloppy and hard hitting. But guess what?
That was a little nasty. Yeah,
that's the way a ladder match should be. It shouldn't be perfect. There should be some holy shit, I can't believe they did that. Hopefully that looked like it hurt type moments, where everything shouldn't be perfectly scripted and everything. There should be some sort of
imperfection
to it to make it better. Because the men's, look at the men's, it was very by the books, scripted. Everything went as planned. Nothing kind of screwed up and everything was safe. The women were a bit more hard-hitting, a little bit more chaotic. I'm glad that we only get Money Back once a year. We had the one ladder match, a couple of them, but not many. Kind of done with ladder matches. I want to see a good singles ladder match at some point in WWE. We haven't had one of them in a while, like truly meaningful ladder match where they can, because right, like all of, if you think of ladder matches lately, it's multi-man matches because you want to do a lot of big bumps. Kind of want to go back to where the ladder match is a storytelling match and you don't have to do crazy bumps all the time. You can tell a bit of a story in the match. I would like that. Kind of coming back, just as a side note, I kind of want to see that again. Once a year, get a good old fashioned ladder match with two guys, two girls telling a story. I'd be okay with that. We don't need multi man matches for car wrecks. We can have a solo ladder match and kind of mean something. But no, congrats to Drew for winning and then failing. We'll talk about that in a second. But congrats to Tiffany though for creating Tiffy time, and she mentioned in the post, bedazzling the crap out of the briefcase.
If they don't paint that bitch pink and put fake jewels all over it, it's a wasted opportunity. Because I was thinking about this, like, especially from a marketing standpoint, like, you could release a special edition of that briefcase, because they had one at Money in the Bank, which it was, Money in the Bank was sponsored by the boys. And so they had a special like Vought briefcase that I think you could only get there.
Yeah, it was a blue and red one for Toronto.
And probably now on eBay. But you could do something like that with her briefcase, and it would probably be really good.
Yeah, they're going to add a strap, heckin' strap to it like a purse. I mean, good on you. Make it a thing.
I need it like a cross between Elle Woods and, Alicia Silverstone's character from Clueless.
Yeah, yeah.
I want to say Blair, but that's not right.
Cher.
I was close. It's like, I know it's something like that, but yeah, just a cross between Cher and Elle Woods give it to me. Freaking give it to me. I would be so all about that. Very much want to see. But yeah, the women's match was very good. The men's match was good, but the women were better. Women were a lot better. And just by looking at who was involved in the matches, I think the women, again, had a lot to prove, because this was Tiffany's first Money in the Bank. This was Chelsea's first Money in the Bank. This was Lyra's first Money in the Bank. And I think this was Zoe's first Money in the Bank. Or this might have been her second.
Second. She was in it last year.
So you had people in here who had, like, were like, I'm going to make this my moment, and I'm going to stand out no matter what. So good for them.
Good for them. So let's talk about Drew.
Drew had a night.
He had a night. So it was Damian Priest and Seth Rollins. They had a good match for the world title. Except for the one moment that where Damian didn't kick out. That
was awkward.
That was a moment where, like, you thought it was the timing for the music, and then I've heard some stuff from referees like that the music would not have stopped the count. It's in the rules, apparently.
Mm-hmm.
It's in the WWE rulebook. Music won't stop the count, even though it has multiple times in the past. But I digress. Apparently, he got knocked down, or a little bit of a stinger. People think that happened, or he just forgot to kick out because Seth hit the Michinoku driver, and it's an easy kick out, opposed to like a false finish, but like it just, or the Falcon Arrow, whatever it was. But I don't know. It was one of those, like, kind of like, did he really screw that up? Because everyone's like, well, the ref should call it as a shoot, but he couldn't.
Okay, so this is where I got really confused, because for a second, when he didn't kick out and the music started playing, I was like, wait, did they just have Seth win the title? Because I was, like, really confused for a second as to what happened. Because I even put it in our chat. I was like, Damian didn't kick out?
Yeah.
But they were acting like he had, but there's music playing. And it's like, what's going on? Then it's like, okay, it's Drew. So it's Drew coming down to cash in. But it's like, Damian didn't kick out, but the ref stopped the count. Which, in the past, they don't do. Like, normally, it's if you don't kick out, they count to three. And then they figure it out from a storytelling perspective. But they stopped in this instance because it's like, yeah, that's not what we need to have happen.
Because if there was no interference coming, then he called it as a shoot. But if he counted to three, Damien's out of Judgment Day, so that screws up their plans. That screws up SummerSlam. That screws up everything going forward. He's out of Judgment Day. That screws up the angle with Punk and Drew coming out. That screws that up. It just would have screwed up everything. Like, you know, in other situations, you just have him just, you know, count the shoot. But it's like, the ref knew what was about to come. He was smarted up. Hey, this is all going to go down, so I don't know. And Hunter made the point of, yeah, I'm going to talk to the ref and see what he saw. Because, and they kind of just glossed over and just moved on from it at that point. But you couldn't. Everyone saw he didn't kick out. Everyone saw it. It was.
But they did a nice follow-up on it, because they did sort of acknowledge that, well, there were massive shenanigans in this match, you know, between Damian not kicking out and Drew showing up and cashing in, and then Punk showing up and costing Drew, and just all of the stuff that happened in the end of this match that was just really kind of crazy, insane. On Monday, they had Priest and Seth confront each other. And, you know, it's like, so about the deal, right? Because that was the whole point of this match, was the gentleman's agreement. And it's like, we said it on Monday. There's no way that Seth or Damian can reasonably honor that agreement based on what happened. There's just no way. It's right. It's kind of bullshit. And especially with the character that you're telling with Damian, is fair is fair. And you had Damian essentially do that, where he's like, okay, all right, look, fair is fair. And we're going to go one more time. And we're going to determine this. The agreement still stands, but this time nobody's going to get involved, and it's going to be you and me for the title.
Well, we'll see. He's got to keep that title from Gunther. But let's go back a little bit. So besides the screw up, the cash in was really well done. Drew coming in, mm-hmm. turning into a triple threat. Like, Seth Rollins knows this is the second time this has happened, because Seth Rollins was the one who did it in the first place, making it a triple threat match. And then CM Punk showing up and just sort of wrecking Drew McIntyre's life, choking him with the wire like Justin Roberts did to Daniel Bryan years ago, and all these different things. He made sure Drew McIntyre was not going to leave as the World Heavyweight Champion. He screwed him. And it was well executed. Like, the beat down and the belt shots and everything that Punk did was well done. Like, the crowd erupted. Seth Rollins being angry afterwards, being held back by Corey Graves. The callback to Survivor Series. That was a very nice touch. Yeah, everything they did following the screw up in the one screw up worked, and I think by that point no one was really thinking about the pinfall. Everyone was talking about CM Punk screwing Drew McIntyre, and then everything they did on the post with Drew McIntyre getting angry, and Wade Barrett being angry, and then Drew whacking Pierce in the back of the head with an elbow, like them taking the story from the match to the post show. Made one, the post show something to watch now, more than just the press conferences. And two, it was able to further the story right there. And then you didn't have to wait till Monday to see Drew's reaction. Drew was pissed. You didn't see it on social. You saw it, if you kept the stream on, you saw it live on television. And that was a cool follow-up going forward. So it's like, I'm glad they've kind of transitioned from just a post show press conference to a post show where you get the analyst talking a little bit. And so it's like they're doing a lot more. Big E, well, props to Big E. He has found his role as an analyst on the pre and post.
Yeah,
he's doing a great job on the countdown show before, and he's doing a great job on the post because he's interacted with all these people. He knows all these people, so he provides great insight and stuff like that. So props to Big E. And but I enjoyed the beatdown and the cash in and the failure of it. It was. For what the Money in the Bank is, it worked.
I like it when the cash-ins succeed, but I like it more in some cases when the cash-ins fail, especially if they do it really effectively, like what they did here. Where it's, because it's like, you know, for years it was, oh, it's the Money in the Bank, it's a guaranteed win, we're going to see the title change when they cash in, until John Cena lost. Mm-hmm. And then it was, oh, okay, no, it's not. So now there's always that chance of, yeah, the cash-in could go through, or no, it couldn't. And in this instance, it's like, Drew called a shot before the show. He said, I'm going to go out. I'm going to win Money in the Bank. I'm going to cash in that night, and I'm going to walk out with a title. Well, he walked in. He won Money in the Bank. He cashed in, but CM Punk screwed him. And the best part of this is that coming out of this, you don't have just one person mad at CM Punk. You have two people. Now Seth Rollins has a reason to go for him.
Yeah.
And Seth Rollins has a reason to get involved in the Drew Punk scenario. And that gives Seth Rollins something to do for SummerSlam, especially since Damian Priest is going to turn his attention to Gunther. So you did a really just seamless transition there that was just effortless. And I applaud them for that. And like you said, the follow through on the post show of everything where you do those little setups. Because the best thing about that is you have that post show. You can then clip it and you can put it out all over social media so people can see it in case you didn't see the post show. And it's, hey, look, here's what happened on the post show. And you can keep putting that out right before Raw, which is, I think, what they were doing, which explains the situation going into Monday Night Raw, because you had all sorts of stuff flying after the show with Adam Pearce that was building up to Monday night.
Yeah.
And then when they got on the show live, what they did was they explained it, mm-hmm. which, you know, somebody else could do.
That's effort.
Anyway, but yeah, this whole thing was, aside from the kickout, which I think the kickout only left the question of the gentleman's agreement between Seth and Damian, but they cleared that up. But beyond that, this was like a really, really fun way to do this, and very unexpected and very unpredictable. So good for them.
Biggest surprise of the night went to Sami Zayn beating Braun Breaker.
Holy shit, I did not think he was going to win. I thought that was Braun's moment. I really did.
They gave Braun Breaker new music. He had a big looking rock star type entrance. Looked really cool with it all, with the new music and a little bit of change in the lighting. Everything looked great. And they had a pretty good match. And then Sami won. I was like, oh. I know LeMans brought it up like that it could happen. I was like, yeah, it could. But I feel like they're missing the boat. I still feel like they missed the boat on it. And it'll probably get it at SummerSlam. But I feel like you had the opportunity to make a strong move at Money in the Bank. But yeah, it was a real surprise.
I was really stunned. Like, I was really shocked because, you know, like you said, it's like, to me, I said it on the preview, this is sort of a make or break for Braun, for me, in terms of the character and how they're presenting the character. And I know Sami is awesome and amazing, and we all love Sami, but Sami is always better when he chases. And when you're putting Sami up against a character like Braun, which your only other comparison to it is, say, when Sami fought Roman, and Sami took Roman to his absolute max and still lost, you're expecting a similar outcome with Braun because just of how they're presenting him. Like, I understand Braun is not necessarily Roman, but it's like you expect Sami to take him to the limit, which he kind of did. Like, they had a really good match. This was longer than I thought. But ultimately, you expect Braun to kind of come out on top just to sort of make it.
Yeah.
And they didn't do it.
That was a little surprising, yeah.
So I don't know. I don't know where Braun goes from here, because they did a nice recovery. They basically had him walk out and murder Sammy Monday night in game. Yeah, but which
will lead to a rematch and him probably winning. But it, you kind of thought so. There was a moment there that they could have done it. But yeah, when he gets the belt, it'll be fine. They just had a better moment. But we're going in. So between us and the inanimate objects, everyone was very predictable. So that kind of made the show a little bit unpredictable. With Drew winning and then Sammy winning, it was like, oh, they're going the unpredictable route. So that I can see why they held off, because it was a little bit too predictable at the same time.
Yeah, no, it's fair. It's completely fair. It was just really sort of shocking, that's all.
Yeah.
It was like, wait, what? We're doing what?
And then there was the Cody and Randy and Kevin against the Bloodline match, which was physical as expected, hard hitting as expected. Jacob Fatu looked like a star. No selling the vintage Randy Orton DDT. And Randy being like, here comes RKO. Oh, shit. Nope. Not going to be a thing.
Nope. We are not doing that. Nope.
Nope. They had a hell of a match. It was a good main event.
This was a fantastic main event.
Very enjoyable. And that ended up with the predictable finish of Solo beating Cody, which is what needed to happen.
Oh, yeah. Well, we said it on last week. It's in order to establish the new bloodline as the new bloodline, you need to have them win. Like, there's no getting around that. They have to win.
Especially when they put Jacob in, they had to win.
Yeah. It's like you just, it's 4-on-3. They spun a little tale about trying to get, I think, Jacob in.
Which they did.
So,
which they had to.
Which they had to get him in. Yeah. But I like that they said that they're like, Triple H had to do a little sweet talking to get Jacob Fatu in because he's so dangerous. But when they said that and all four of them were there, it's like, yeah, no, they have to win. And Cody and Kevin and Randy, they can all eat the loss. They'll make it up. It'll be fine. But you're really trying to establish this new group, especially since at some point you have Roman lurking. He will come back, likely with Paul Heyman, who's now been exercised out of or sent out of the bloodline. And then you have The Rock, the final boss, lurking. And what side will he come down on? Will he come down on Roman's side, or will he come down on the new bloodline side?
Yeah.
So when all of that happens, presumably around Mania next year, you want to make sure that they are really strong, they're really competent, they're really powerful, that it's reestablishing the bloodline as the group in WWE, that they still run this, and they do it without Roman, and they don't need Roman.
Yeah.
So I like this match. I thought it was really good. I thought it was very fun. You got to see everybody's skills showcased incredibly well.
You did.
So overall, this was a great main event. I thought this was a good show. I mean, it wasn't the greatest Money in the Bank. Like, it wasn't mind-blowing by any stretch of the imagination, but it was a good, entertaining show.
It was a good, entertaining show, yeah. That's for sure.
I like the earlier start time, too.
It was a good earlier start time, yeah.
So he was done and over with by what, like 10, 10:30, somewhere there?
The main card was done by 10. The post show was done by 11. A little bit after 11. So it worked.
Can't complain about that.
No, you can. No, you cannot.
Because I was looking at Bad Blood, and I was like, "They start at 7. I could be home before midnight."
Good. You could be home by 10. You could be done. They'll be done by 10, 10:15 at the latest.
It depends. If I were to go, it would depend if I would take Marta or if I would drive.
Yeah.
Like that would be the thing, because that's always like the difficulties of shows in Atlanta is Marta stops from running going northbound at a certain time, so getting out of WWE shows late is always fun. But yeah, I may have to look at that if that's the case.
Yeah.
Provided certain circumstances clear up.
Indeed.
But I think that's our show.
No.
No?
You forgot one thing.
Oh, housekeeping?
No.
What?
You can't see him.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes, that.
Maybe we'll talk more about it next week, but we'll talk about what he did tonight, or on Saturday. So, it's been made official. The retirement of John Cena is happening in 2025. He came out, introduced by Trish Stratus, the host of Money in the Bank. who had a little bit with Tiffany as well, which was fun. But he came out and announced that next year's Royal Rumble, his last. Next year's Elimination Chamber, his last. Next year's WrestleMania, his last. And everyone at that point went, oh, so he's done at Mania. He's not done. No. He's not done at Mania. He's done it in December. He also mentioned being on Netflix, so we'll expect him on January, whatever, to start whenever they start on Netflix. He'll be on the first show because it's John Cena. He's got it. He's dedicating it. He's doing about 35 to 40 appearances for WWE next year. That's kind of his locked in number at the moment. So that's probably the road to WrestleMania. That'd probably eat about 12 of them, probably, with Rumble, Chamber, and WrestleMania. So that's about 14 appearances there. And then scatter them through the rest of the year. We'll build a match probably to Money in the Bank, build a match to SummerSlam, and they'll probably go to one or two of the overseas premium live events to say goodbye. And then by the end of the fall, he'll probably kind of wind it down a little bit because he's going to try to do other things in between because he's a busy, busy man. But he's going to give it a run, like one final run.
And I respect him for that. I really, really do, because John Cena, we all know his commitment to both WWE and the business as a whole. We know how much it means to him. This is what made him. This is what got him to where he is in life now. And I respect him for wanting to come back and say goodbye one final time and get that last tour in before he's done. And that's not to say he can't come back and he can't pop a crowd every once in a while, because he certainly can. But, you know, in terms of wrestling and his health and everything else, this is going to be it. Because yeah, I think he was having neck problems there towards the end.
Yeah, so
which is why he kind of went off and did his own thing, because it's like, well, I've done everything I need to do, so I'm going to go rest up and then just be a feature for you. And now now I'm saying goodbye. I you know what I feel, though? I feel old. I feel so goddamn old.
This is the first career you really see from the beginning to end, from a start to a finish.
Like, I remember when Cena debuted. It's like Orton. I remember when Orton debuted.
They were debuting right now, at the same time.
Yeah, and it's like Cena coming out and saying, I'm done. I'm like, oh my God. Because he's been, it's like, what, 22 years?
Yep, 2002.
So it's like, holy shit, I'm old. I feel old. John Cena's retiring. Oh my God, I feel old. Because this is the first one from what I would say is our contemporary generation that's retiring.
Yeah, from beginning to end, yeah. That had had a very long career like this, yeah.
And Orton's not far behind him, I would imagine. I would say Orton's probably got another year or two left in him, and then he's done.
Orton's is for 5 more years, I think.
Yeah, we'll see.
At least he thinks. But when Cena's done, he's done. The jorts are gone. There will be no more John Cena and his jorts. If he shows up, he'll be in a suit and tie.
No, they're going to get the jorts and they're going to put them in the WWE Experience in Saudi Arabia. That's what they're going to do.
Well, yeah, probably. But he said he's going to be in a suit and tie if he ever appears on WWE TV after that.
I mean, fair.
I mean, he could just wear jeans. It would be okay to wear jeans. But anyway.
Look, let the man dress how he wants to dress, okay?
Yeah, but next question. He went overboard with next question. That was a funny bit. At the post show.
One last question. No, really, one last question. No, one last question.
Yeah, but yeah, John Cena is on his way out in 2025.
We're getting the John Cena retirement tour, which I'm not entirely against. And no, I know they'll do it right.
Yeah, there's a lot of thought being put into this.
And they'll send him out right, and he'll put people over on his way out.
Yeah.
Because that's who John Cena is. So I'm okay with it in that sense, and I'm sure it won't be overboard, but it's, you know, it's the whole marketing ploy of come see John Cena one last time, because this be it. The only other way you're going to get to see him is on either the big screen or your TV screen. So if you want to see him live, this is your last chance before he's done.
Last chance in Vegas, last chance in Toronto, last chance in Indianapolis, all the things, last chance to see John Cena. Retirement tour. It'll be fun. We'll talk more about next week of who he should fight and what we kind of want to see. We'll talk about that more next week, but he made it clear he's on his way out.
And it's very likely he goes into the Hall of Fame next year.
So Hunter answered that question. It's up to John. He said some people like to take a breather from when they retire to get that big pop come back. So I would expect not in 26, but probably 27.
Yeah, he can see that.
Because he'll get the grand finale in December,
Right.
You can wait another year to bring him back and get one more big pop. Because eventually, because he's got to go back to filming the movies in 26, so probably can't find the time. So you wait till 27, you put him in then, get you one big more John Cena. It'll work out. But he'll be his, the Hall of Fame is calling.
Yes, he will be a first round, first ballot Hall of Famer for sure.
Yeah, we'll talk more about Cena next week.
But yeah, I think we're done. Are we officially done?
Now we're done.
Okay, you got stuff to plug, so plug away.
Tomorrow night, GM Battles, 10 p.m. Eastern. Saturday night, 10 p.m. Eastern. It's game night. I don't know what we're playing yet. Maybe Uno. We haven't played Uno in a while. Maybe we'll play Uno. We'll see. But that's 10 p.m. Eastern. Followed by CB Radio. Live at 11:30 p.m. Eastern. Sunday, it's WTR Sunday at Wrestle Talk Radio. We're doing Name That Wrestler from ChatGPT says on WTR. So that should be fun.
That should be interesting.
I got to put together a list of wrestlers to have them guess. It should be an interesting time. So we'll play a game on Sunday. At 10 p.m. Eastern. Monday night's the Raw Push Show, 11 p.m. Eastern. We'll be back next Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, for another edition of The Rack. Talking John Cena and all the news you can handle on The Rack Radio Show on all social media platforms and wherever you get your podcasts. Just search The Rack Radio Show at Wild Talk Radio, Facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network. Chat. If you have that Amazon Prime, link it to your Twitch account. It's called Prime Gaming Support Channel by clicking the purple rectangle, the button below the screen. You can use Critical Rock and Suck or
Min's M Ward
in the Fortnite item shop or Epic Games Store when you buy Metallica or Pirates or whatever else is in the item shop, because we are
hashtag Epic Partners. You can follow me on most of the social medias at Lynn's Ward, LNSWD. You can check me out on Twitch, twitch.tv/Lynn's Ward. You can follow me over on YouTube, youtube.com/@SimmaLynn's Ward. And you can follow me on TikTok, Lynn's Ward Zero. And, you know, while you're liking and subscribing and following and doing all the things, you can head over to Matt's channel, mbgfilmsyoutube.com/mbg1211, and tell him hi and, you know, like and subscribe and do all the wonderful things there, because Matt's an awesome person and we love him. So for Rock, I'm Lindsay Ward. You've been listening to The Rack right here on wildtalkradio.com, and we will see you next week. Bye! Children chilling, the best never worse. See, we never get the pebbles, they got the rocks first. Bank vaults unlocking, ching ching, we're mocking. I'm rocking, my family Christmas stockings are shocking. Fine women, any weather, naughty denim and leather. Call it chicken, whatever, son, they get better. I'm one smart cookie, the vet that smacks rookies. My stock's on top, your checks bounce while mine's booking. Wrist, I must rock it, chick, stop it, I knock it. Cash looks like I got a gang of fists in my pockets. Fist in my pockets. Fist in my pocket. Here comes the money. WildTalkRadio.com.